been a true pleasure to be together this morning and have our Bible classes and get to study together in those efforts, as well as their communion this morning. The comments made there were great. The songs we've sung have been great as well. And it's very encouraging to be together as Christians, to get to work together in a local church, as God has the pattern He's established for us, and He intended for us to be together and to work together, and it is encouraging, and it is to me, and so I hope it is to everyone as well, and I guess I'll do my part as I can, as my ability may or may not be, to help in that from the lesson today. So I hope you find encouragement in this. This is a day that our society celebrates Mother's Day, and I have to admit I'm not one to really follow and focus upon the secular holidays that we have in the world, and I have to admit I broke that today. Now we're going to talk about women, a woman in particular, and in reality, as we get and talk about, we're going to talk about a particular type of woman in the end. And we would probably all recognize the wording, don't we, from Proverbs 31, the worthy woman or the virtuous woman. And Ruth is the one woman in our Bible who that title is assigned to. And so if you'll be turning, if you've not suspected, we're going to look at the book of Ruth today. It's actually a relatively short and concise book. It is focused upon the lineage of David. This Ruth, the worthy woman, ends up being in the lineage of Christ, and actually is one of the few women mentioned in Matthew's lineage, and she actually took a place in that lineage there. And Ruth, being a worthy woman, is actually not an Israelite. Ruth was a Moabite woman. But as far as introduction of lessons go, Ruth chapter 3, verse 11. The writer of this book tells us there, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do unto you all that you require, for the city of my people doth now know that thou art a virtuous woman." This is a statement by Boaz, one who is going to become her husband, and a woman, Ruth, a worthy woman or a virtuous woman that was known by all the people, by all the city, that she was a virtuous woman. And so what I want to do is go through this book and look at how Ruth was a worthy woman. What does that mean? How do we define this worthy or virtuous woman? I think I should use the word virtuous, but we're fixing to just go ahead and go there. We're going to find out the word may not mean what we think it means. Virtue, to me, is a moral quality, that someone is a moral person or a person of virtue. They have standards. That's not what this word means as it's used in the Hebrew. The word itself means one of strength, one of might. Efficiency is another word. Wealth, even in regard to an army. The wording behind it indicates, like Strong says, I got Brown, Driver, and Briggs I used for there at first, and then the second word definition from Strong's, probably a force. Well, that's not a moral character or of what at least in my mind, virtue stands for. It is of something of strength. And it does, Strong's does add the word virtue into his list. But notice what is associated, the other words that he uses. Army, wealth, valor, and strength. And it's probably and maybe especially, I'm gonna go so far as say in our culture the church culture or the Christian culture in men of ages gone by is probably not a word that we always associate with the woman. That of strength. That of might. But one of the points that we're going to draw from this, and we've talked about this in other lessons, is that is an appropriate term for Ruth. And it's a positive quality, it's not a negative. It is a positive quality. That Ruth of a strong woman or a mighty woman, possibly even used as that word. So let's look, and of course we recognize that word used in Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, and our intention is not to study that. But if you think about the word strength, you think about the word mighty and what we remember of Proverbs 10, that's a fish, doesn't it? That woman of Proverbs 31 was a strong woman. She was not someone that you would associate with weakness or feebleness. That is not associated with that particular woman in the proverb. And we're going to find in Ruth's case, I think we're going to make the case for it from this book written in our Old Testaments, that applies to Ruth. And so in particular, in Proverbs chapter 31, a few verses to look at in particular, who can find a virtuous woman, that word a strong or a mighty woman, for her price is far above rubies. And here, verse 17, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. I use the English Standard Version there. I don't know, when you talk about loins, it's not a real flat, and this doesn't sound right. So she dresses herself with strength. And King James uses some different words that maybe help us as much understand, and maybe this is a little better way of saying it. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. And then verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. Even in Proverbs 31, we see this idea in these particular passages, specifically mentioned strength. But the whole context, if you read the entirety of that, we realize that that woman would be a strong woman. Once again, I would call that a virtue. We're using that as a virtue, and I'm mixing terms there on us now because the word virtue is used, as we mentioned, it applies more to strength than it does to moral quality, but Ruth had that as well, and we're going to look at that. One, my first point, as we look at Ruth in the book, so if you're over there or want to get to the book of Ruth, we will start looking at these scriptures and make this case for Ruth a strong woman. A virtuous or strong woman, mighty woman. And so in this book, we're going to first point is an industrious and hard worker. First of all, let's take note, Ruth was a woman who looked for work. She looked for work. Okay? The idea being industrious and hard worker. So Ruth chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 there. Ruth the Moabitess. Now I guess I might just say this as an introduction. We might all remember this, but let me set the story. I've probably overlooked the introduction that maybe is important to a lot of us. If you remember, Naomi and her husband have left Israel. They left their inheritance in Israel. They go to Moab, and then while they're in Moab, Naomi's sons marry Moabite women, Ruth being one of her sons' wives. So they married women outside of Israel, something they was commanded not to do. Not only did they leave their inheritance, now they've gone to another nation, and they're intermarrying with another nation, neither thing was approved by God. And then the men of the house die. Naomi's husband dies, Ruth's husband dies, and the other other son dies as well. And I won't get into the names, it's not important for our lesson so much. So Naomi is left with her two daughters-in-law, who had married her sons, and Ruth agrees or will not leave Naomi and wants to go back into go back into Israel and stay with Naomi. This is Ruth. And that's what happens here. So Ruth goes back with Naomi into Israel and begins to inhabit Israel and live there. And now this circumstance comes up that two widows, an older widow and a younger widow, are alone in Israel. And Ruth, the Moabitess, let's look at Ruth 2, verse 2. Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, her mother-in-law, now let me go to the field and glean ears of corn after him whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And it happened that she lighted on a part of the field that belonged to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Elimelech being Naomi's husband that died in Moab. So Ruth goes out to glean the field, basically go out and get food because they're widows. They have no land. They have nobody to help provide for them, to feed them, or to the land that they can work on. They have no land. They abandoned it when they left. And so Ruth happens to go and ends up on a plot of land that is a relation to Elimelech, and Boaz being the man who is a kindred of Elimelech, her father-in-law. But she goes, this idea of the point I'm getting to here is that she was an industrious and hard worker. She went out looking for work. I think it's interesting from the thought of benevolence. That's the way widows were taken care of in the day. they didn't, you know, it wasn't just that we give you something so you don't have to do anything. Ruth had to go and collect the food. Now, we're going to find out that there was grace shown to her in this, but we see her putting effort out into helping provide for Naomi and whatever other needs might have been the case. It was the harvest season. It was the time to do these things. It was time to set this aside, to have a store up for the harder times when as winter would come and such like. She looked for work. Not only that, she worked from daylight till dark. Look in chapter, the same chapter, in verse 6 and 7. Says there, the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, is this the Moabite damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab? And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and continued even from morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. And then verse 15 through 17. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Let fall also some on the handfuls on purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. So we see she worked in the field from sun up to sun down, and the wording is that after the sun went down, she went and beat out the wheat, which you got to get the chaff and stuff off of it so the wheat's usable and whatnot. And I think we can all relate. If we spend a day out fishing or hunting, it's a hard day, or out in the field, and we haven't worked any. I mean, it's not work. Fishing's not work. It's kind of fun. But does it make us tired? Yeah. Just being out in the sun is hard. We live in a climate-controlled environment. We have the heat on this morning. We had air conditioner on when we need to. Just being out in the sun is hard work. Here she worked. And think of the fall season. You know, you're still talking 10 or 12 hours of daylight. She worked in the field that long, and then it says she went and gleaned. In verse 17, she gleaned in the field until evening. We've already established she was there at morning, and she beat out what she had gleaned. So we see she worked from daylight till dark, and even after dark. And we remember from the proverb writer. My intention is not to tie in the proverb writer so much, but there's some direct tie-ins. We could go back and look at Proverbs 31. That's the same similar phrase used of that woman in Proverbs 31. So she worked from daylight till dark. She was industrious and hard worker. The entire harvest season she worked. In verse 23, continuing there in chapter 2, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. She did this the entire harvest season. So our scripture paints for us a woman who worked. It was industrious and a hard worker. And so much so, she provided for her household. In chapter 2, verse 18, she took up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave unto her that she had reserved after she had sufficed. So she brought this back to her mother-in-law. And then in chapter 3, the same thing there in verse 14 through 18, an allusion there. Let's go down to verse 15. The Boaz said, bring the veil that you have upon you, Ruth, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured out 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, her mother-in-law said, who art you? My daughter. Who art thou? My daughter. And she told her all that the man had done to her, man being Boaz. And she said, these 6 measures of barley he gave me, for he said unto me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. And so we see that Ruth prepared, provided for her household what she was able to help with, and her, in particular Naomi, she helped provide for those. So she provided for an industrious and hard worker was Ruth. We also see one of the great lessons I see from this as well that we probably all recognize is that she was she had well-placed loyalties. She was loyal to her mother-in-law, first of all. She had properly placed loyalty. She was loyal to her mother-in-law. Now, you think about this. She was a Moabite. She was not of the land of Israel. They were of different nations. Of all circumstances, they parted ways and never been friends to begin with because the cultures may have been so different. But we find her, she was loyal to her mother-in-law. We probably remember this part of the story in Ruth chapter 1, as Naomi deals with her daughter-in-laws and tells them to stay and to remarry, and that she's not going to bear any more children, that there will be no more sons, and if there were sons, that you wouldn't wait on them. But Ruth's response to all this, verse 9, the Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. So this is Naomi, encouraging her two daughter-in-laws to stay. And then verse 11, well, let's get verse 10. And they said unto her, surely we will return with you unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I hope, and if I should have a husband, also tonight, and should bear sons, would you wait for them till they are grown? Would you stay from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieved me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, kissed Naomi. But Ruth cleaved unto her, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return now after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God my God. Therefore, where you die, I will die, and where you're buried, the Jehovah do to me, and more so, if I ought but depart from me. And when she saw that she was steadfast-minded to go with her, then she left from speaking unto her. Ruth made her case. I want your God to be my God. I want Jehovah as God. Notice your scriptures that show Ruth recognized Jehovah as God. Not an idol, not some other God of the world, small g God. Jehovah God to be her God. That's what verse 17 says. So we see a properly placed loyalty here. There was nothing wrong with this loyalty. She wanted to stay with her mother-in-law. Most importantly, she wanted to be a servant of the true God, Jehovah God. Again, in some other references, we realize about the story of Ruth, of her loyalty. Chapter 2, verse 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, it has fully been shown unto me all that you have done unto your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left thy father and your mother and the land of thy nativity, or land of your birth, and you are come to a people which you knew not. And so we see that that all the people knew of what Ruth had done. All the people recognized that she had left her home, left her family, left her nation, her place of birth, to come and be with Naomi. And so we see her there. And then, again, she follows Naomi's instructions about Boaz and how to deal with him there in chapter 3. She also shows loyalty to Boaz, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Let's read that along. Read that with me as well. As Boaz has seen her in the field and gives her instructions, she follows and does what Boaz instructs. Chapter 2, verse 8. Then Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here by my maidens. Let your eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go out after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch you? And when you are thirsty, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And then there's that reference about her loyalty to Naomi there in verse 11 that we just read. So Boaz has said, you come, you glean in my field, you follow after my maids, you drink of the water that the servants are drawing. You stay on my place, and I will take care of you, is basically what he is saying. And that's exactly what Naomi does. Naomi is loyal to him, and even eats with his servants in chapter 14. Boaz said, verse 14. Boaz says in chapter 2, verse 14, at mealtime, come and eat the bread, and dip the morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. She did what she said, what Boaz asked her to do. She had a properly placed loyalty. We also find, as we talk about virtuous things, not just of strength, we also find that she is full of loving kindness. Not only is she a hard worker, not only does she show loyalty, she shows loving kindness. She does it to Naomi, the fact that she leaves her hometown and all those things out of care and concern for her. for Naomi. We've read there in verse 8. We've talked about here in, well, we haven't gone chapter 3 yet, but she is gathering corn, wheat, and barley and taking them to her mother-in-law. Actually, we did here in chapter 3, verses 10, 11. We read that. Notice chapter 3, verse 10. Blessed thou of Jehovah, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness in the latter end than in the beginning, insomuch that you do not follow the young men, whether poor or rich. This is Boaz talking about Ruth. And she showed more kindness in the end than in the beginning. And in the beginning, she was taking care of Naomi and followed Naomi into the nation of Israel. Even more. So she shows loving kindness there. That is expressed here in our readings that we have seen. And then the taking of the barley back in the six measures of barley that we reference here in chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. She shows loving kindness to Naomi. Another virtue, more of a normal term of virtue we might use. She is a meek and humble person. That goes hand in hand with godliness and strength. The fact that we can take our strength and yield to others. Ruth was able to do that. Ruth was that. It wasn't. Ruth was not weak. Ruth was strong and meek. Versus, once again, towards Naomi and following her home into her homeland. She showed meekness there. We've shown the strength that she had. We also show her meekness and ability and willingness to follow others, her loyalty to Naomi. And then towards Boaz there in chapter 2, verse 10 through 13, we saw, as we've read that her meekness there. Actually, we've not read all of that yet. Ruth chapter 2. Let's keep reading. And I'll go ahead and start at we'll read 10 through 13. Let's go ahead and read what I have on the chart. Ruth chapter 2, verse 10 through 13. Ruth, the meek person. She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that you should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It has fully been showed to me that you have done unto thy mother-in-law what you have done unto your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth. You are coming to a people which you do not know. The Lord or Jehovah recompense your work, and a full reward be given of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you are come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaiden, though I be not like one of thine handmaidens." We see her respond meekly here. And though she be strong, though she be working all day in gleaning, she is a meek person. Finally, of all the virtue that we see in her, we find that she puts her trust in Jehovah, the true God. She puts her trust in Jehovah, the one true God. Not the God of the Moabites. Not the God of the groves. Not the God that they made the calf to look like and at Mount Sinai. She put her trust in Jehovah, the true God. We saw this already in chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Let's read it again because it makes the point. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave," talking to Naomi, "or return from following after you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, thy God, my God." Now there's a reference there just to God, a God. But notice what she continues to say here in verse 17, "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Jehovah do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part you and me." Jehovah God, Jehovah was her God. She trusted in Jehovah. Chapter 2, verse 12. We've already read that. Read that again. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given you of Jehovah God of Israel, under whose wings you are come to trust." Ruth put her trust in the Jehovah God of Israel, the God of Israel, Jehovah. She trusted in Jehovah. Certainly a virtuous woman in our normal definition of what we might call virtue. She put her trust in Jehovah. So we find in Ruth, as she trusted in God, also these ideas, these behaviors match one who would trust in Jehovah, one who would follow Jehovah. She was loyal. She was kind. She was meek. That's what you would want and expect out of someone who trusted in the true God of creation, Jehovah God. We see those, as we saw in Ruth, as she interacted and as the book explains and shows these to us. So much so that her reputation was that spread throughout and known throughout. Did you notice that as we read? We already read chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. It's worthy to take note of it in this context. Think about how it was known. Verse 11 says, "My daughter, fear not, I will do all that you require, for all the city of my people does know that you are a virtuous woman." And this virtuous woman is that woman of strength and of might. Everybody in town knew it. Why? Because they've seen her. They've seen her and they knew the story. They knew what happened with Naomi and her coming to be and live under Jehovah God in Israel and to put her trust under his wings. That's what she did. And it was known throughout that she was this virtuous or strong or mighty woman. Everyone knew it. And then chapter 14, we've not read this yet, but chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, it says there, "And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which has not left you this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of your old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loves thee, is better to thee than seven sons have borne him." She is better than seven sons. She loves thee, and she's better than seven sons. She had a great reputation, and known throughout the city, known throughout the town of her reputation. So what do we learn of Ruth in summary? She was a virtuous, or strong and mighty woman. She showed that. We've seen in our other lessons, we talked about Rebecca and Isaac, and saw how Rebecca was a strong woman. She hastened and hustled as she ran to where she went, if we go back and look in that account in Genesis. Rebecca was a strong woman as well as other women, though she is not specifically called that. We see that in her life and how she expressed that as she lived. Rebecca was a strong woman. Ruth was that. She was a woman of strength and a woman of virtue. She was an industrious and hard worker. As we saw, she worked from sun up to sundown. She gleaned the wheat. She beat out the wheat. She was loyal to Naomi. She cared for her kinsmen. She showed loving kindness to others. She showed that she was meek and humble, which is the very essence of a godly person that is strong, that is also meek. And that is Ruth. That's who Ruth was. That's how she lived. By all means, the foundation of all these things in the end comes to matter because she put her trust in Jehovah. She put her trust in God, the Jehovah God, the one true God. And not only did she do that, everybody knew that. Everybody knew of her faith and trust in God. I think that sometimes in our society or previous cultures maybe, a strong woman was something to be feared. A godly, strong woman is a meek woman. And there's nothing to be feared of that. Not only is it not to be feared, it's to encourage our women and the women to be strong. We should be a Ruth in our lives. We have that's a goal we can attain. And we're none of us are out working in fields today. I can tell you right now, every one of us would be exhausted for a few hours of working in a field like they did. But they were capable. We are capable. And it's something for us to aspire to, all of us, to be stronger in this life and in work that we do and to accomplish what we can do. But you know something else besides the fact that Ruth being a strong and worthy woman, a strong and virtuous woman, is that we see a pattern or a portrait of redemption in Ruth. Think about this. Naomi had left her home. Naomi and her husband had left their home, left their land, went to another country, found themselves bankrupt. Her husband died. Her daughters-in-law, her sons had died. They were left without. Ruth, the story of Ruth is a portrait of redemption. We see God's grace. Naomi comes back into the land, and lo and behold, who does Ruth go and end up being, whose property does she end up on? One of her kinsmen. A kinsman who has the right to redeem her, to redeem their property back, and he does so. He marries Ruth in the end. If you remember the story, he marries Ruth. Brings that land and they now have an inheritance again. That's God's grace. They had left, Amalek had left the land of Israel and had lost his land and lost his life. Even Naomi recognized that God had been against them. But now God's grace is shown, and they are taken care of through Boaz. And so we see God's grace for those who would trust and obey God. Through Ruth and through Boaz, this happens to Naomi and the family there. But God's grace at work. Boaz was qualified to redeem Ruth because he was in the family. And the same idea, Jesus is qualified to be our Savior. We read in Hebrews 4 about the qualification of Jesus. We recognize Jesus is infinitely qualified to redeem us. He has done so. Jesus has redeemed us, just like Boaz redeemed Ruth. We also see that the price, that redemption price was paid by Jesus. We make this point often, or have made it often, about how that price was expensive, the cost of it. We must accept that redemption price. And that's our invitation for the morning. Have you accepted redemption? Ruth was offered redemption. Naomi had a chance to be taken care of through that, and she accepted that. In this letter of Ruth, this book written about Ruth, she accepted that redemption. We can reject it, just as she could have rejected her redemption. We can as well. Have you been redeemed? Have you had your sins washed away and accept that redemption price? But if you've not, we encourage you to make that known this morning, that you have your sins washed away, that debt's done away with, the grace and mercy of God that takes effect, and we don't have to worry about those consequences of sins anymore. Because Jesus paid that price, and we've accepted that price because we obey His instructions in baptism and salvation. And then in the end, are we living worthy of that price? Are we living worthy? That price was great. The cost was something we could not pay. We owe Him our all. And if we stumbled along the way and we wish, need, and desire to make a confession before the church or need the prayers of the church, we also offer this time as well to come and make your request known. We all want to be redeemed. We all want to be bought back. Our sin puts us away from God, but Jesus has bought us back, and we can have access to that if we'll but confess and do what He's instructed, to trust and obey God. If you wish to answer a gospel's call this morning, won't you come while we stand and as we sing?